welcome to the Blind Handyman Show, recorded at a little ranch house on Southwood Drive in Lufkin, Texas. For the next hour, we'll talk about building, repairing, and maintaining, all designed, of course, with the blind in mind. Here are the hosts for the Blind Handyman Show, Don Shaw.
Hey there, Mr. Tom.
How's it going, buddy? Don Patterson's here once again.
Yeah, good afternoon, Thomas.
Good afternoon. I'm Tom Houston, and here's the creator and producer of the Blind Handyman Show. Here's Bill Parr.
Hi, Kenneth, wherever you are. Hey. Anyway, that low rumble you heard there at first was my air compressor. My son is rebuilding my deck on the back of the house. We had some rotten boards, and he decided they were all bad, and so he ripped them all up, and, you know, it should be him to put them all back down. So that's what he's doing. So he's going to move the compressor around to where he's working, so maybe it won't disturb us too bad. And on top of that, there comes the train.
It sure is.
It's just not our day. Why don't we just do the show from out by the fire or something, you know?
Imagine, really.
Anyway, Patterson, how are you, sir?
Well, I'm doing just fine.
How's that bathtub project coming?
Well, the bathtub is installed. It's usable. I have all the sheetrock put back around it, and I'm waiting for the tile or marble man to come next week and do the shower enclosure. And
oh, he's actually going to build a shower enclosure.
Right. Yeah, they do it with the, he'll use, all of his stuff is in, it's a half-inch sheets. Time you put the glue under it, it figures out about a half-inch, and he cuts, there's three pieces, one that goes along the back wall, and then he uses some kind of joint. I forgot what he told me, how he miters it, how he does his corner joints. Really, almost can't see them. But anyway, it's really done in, well, the five pieces. There's the three main pieces on the wall, and then he uses a four-inch, one-inch piece that borders on the outside of this.
So anyway, but when he does it, after he does it, you'll know all there is to know about putting up that kind of stuff, right?
Probably not likely. I was thinking about taking that day off.
Yeah,
no, I'll probably observe. I'll know how to write a big check.
Pretty much it. Write a big check. So, Shaw, what's going on? Anything exciting we need to know about?
Oh, nothing real big this week. Just kind of hanging in and thinking about a few handyman projects. I do have one thing.
What?
Talking about the toilet project again. We haven't talked about that in a number of weeks
now. I think we've gone through four shows of that talking about
toilets.
We have,
man. We have to do that, haven't we?
Trying to get back on them, I guess.
But I'm fixing to tie into one here again.
What is happening?
You know, for years, I've been changing, and we've talked about it, for what they call the flapper valve in the tank there.
The flush cock in the tank.
Yeah. And when the water starts running out, you know pretty much that will solve your problem. At least it has solved my problem now for years. I'm talking 15 years up until now. And I've changed one. In fact, I've changed two. I'm on my second one as we speak and still got the same problem with the water running through.
Uh-oh.
And I've gotten a solution or two, and I'm fixing to try it. And after I do this, and hopefully it's going to work, I will talk about it on a future show. But other than that, nothing's going on.
Well, George is decking, and you'll hear that big nail gun popping in just a few minutes. He, without that nail gun, it would take, you know, guys had a hard time. Of course, we have the big nail gun that shoots 3.5-inch nails, so just pow, pow, pow. Once you get the board where you want it. We didn't use ring shank nails. We just used regular nails, and I have not nailed a board. I've just been going and getting tools, pry bars, and whatever. Anyway, this is show number, 17 before we get too far into the...
Yeah,
into
17.
My goodness gracious.
17 shows, and we're going to fix the problem that we have had with 6. We're going to Jonathan's going to fix that this weekend. He went and looked at it, and show 6 is somewhere or another vanished. As all of you who fool with computers know, things do vanish. And somewhere or another, this show got... excoriated from, that was a good word, excoriated from the server, and so you can't pull it up, but we're going to send it to him again, and so they'll all be in order and ready to go. Shows 16 shows, and this is number 17.
So go and look at those archives.
Yes, sir, rebound.
And what else? Is that about it? We ready for email?
Okay, yeah, we're ready for email.
Right. Got tons of it.
Subject here is handyman number 12. He says, hi, I listened to session 12. It was excellent. I'm interested in hearing about those bird feeders. And I believe that was Shaw's interview, wasn't it?
I did reply back to that man and said that I'd already talked to Steven and said at some point we'll come back and do another show on the feeders.
Give him Steven's email address. You could just... See if Stephen could correspond with him, I guess.
Good, yeah.
Yeah, and that's from Jerry Barrier in Shrewsbury, Massachusetts, believe it or not. Okay, here, this is from Tom Rash. He said, I just found out about your program. If it's okay with all of you, I intend to run it Saturday afternoons on our radio reading service for the blind. We're based in Ukiah, California. We cover portions of Los Angeles, San Bernardino, Orange, and Riverside counties. When I get more time, I will definitely have some questions for you. I'm totally blind, and my wife is partially blind. We have five children, so a lot of home repairs. I've covered a lot on my own, but we'll most likely have some questions for you. Keep up the good work. Tom Rash, and he's the executive director of Audio Vision Radio Reading Service.
I talked with Tom Rash. Seems to be a very well-adjusted blind fella. I don't remember how long he said he'd been blind, but he's total. He was using his a parrot, Shaw. Well, you've read about
really,
those,
yeah.
Little parrot
little
thing. And he was not happy with it. I don't know what they're
really
all about, but he was complaining of having problems with his parrot. But he was using that as his note taker. And seemed like a really... And anyway, they're going to run us on Los Angeles radio reading service. So hi, everybody in L.A.
Very
or
good.
In California.
Yeah.
Good,
right.
good to have you folks with us.
Yeah.
And do we mind? No, we don't care where you run it. Run it anywhere. We're
That's
working
right.
on... Don is, and
has
been...
The better.
Has been working on, and we're going to work on getting it on some other reading services. So maybe
reading
folks who
radio services.
Folks who aren't computer people, blind computer people, can listen to the show also. So thanks, Jerry. We appreciate you, and we'll be looking forward to your questions, sir.
All right. Now, this one went to Stacy, the girl that did the article in the Lufkin Daily News, uh-huh. And it's from Dale Campbell. He says, hello, Stacy. I recently was given a copy of your article on the blind handyman and his radio show. Do you have any contact information for him or the show? I was blinded in a car wreck and do custom woodworking. Attached is a shot of a deck I built at my home shortly after the accident. And this is Dale Campbell, president of BlindMiceMark.com.
Uh-huh.
And I saw the picture, and I can testify that it's a huge deck. Nice-looking deck.
Looks really good?
Uh-huh, it really does.
And so he said he built this after the accident.
After the accident, right.
Which means that he was blind when he did it. Now, see, he'd be a great guest,
uh-huh.
Wouldn't he?
Yes, he would. I mean, it was built around a huge swimming pool. And it was beautiful. It was a real nice job.
Built his deck around the pool?
Yes.
I bet you one thing I can tell you about this boy without ever meeting him.
What?
While he's building a deck, he fell in that pool at least once. Because I've been there. I've got a pool, and I've only walked off in this one once. But it was, I told you about it. There were carpenters on the roof, and they thought he was really funny. Poor blind guy.
Well, yeah. This one, if I remember correctly, it's built on one side of the pool, and it's kind of up off the ground, and then you have to come down off the deck to get to the pool.
But, really?
But it really was a nice day.
That would be quite a project for a blind fella. He might be the guy that this Kenneth guy was talking about.
Yeah, deck building.
He's to talk to deck building. So he would be a good guest. We got his email address.
Yes, sir. I believe we do.
Well, we will email him. Yeah, there was.
Huh? Where is he from?
Hey, he was from. I threw it in the floor. Hang on here just a minute. Let's see, this guy. It's from, let's see if it says.
This is a guy from England, isn't it?
No. No, he's coming up next. He's coming up next. It doesn't say where he's from, but I've got his email address, so we can contact him.
I was wondering how he didn't hear our program, but he knew Stacy or something. So I was trying to figure out
the connection. We'll talk about that in just a minute. I guess we can do it now. The article that was about us in the Lufkin News, some way ended up on the Internet, and I haven't figured out how yet. Jonathan,
I don't know that either.
Jonathan sent us a little message about it, but I haven't quite figured out how it got in digital form. But it was on the Friends of ACB Radio list, and what other list, Don? I think several other.
Several lists.
Yeah, there was a Texas list, and ACB Radio list. I'm not sure.
An audio list.
Audio tips. Several of them. Pete's Talk thing, it was on that. And so I don't know how it got there, and we're not complaining, but we haven't quite figured out. And Stacy didn't know either, because it is not in the Lufkin News.
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is in the Lufkin News Archive.
It is as of today, but no pictures. It's just the article itself. Our pictures weren't in there.
And that's what you wanted with the pictures, right?
Yeah, I want the pictures.
Well, you know, the same article ran on the Nacogdoches paper.
Yes, it did.
So
Cox
maybe someone
did.
Up there did that.
Cox News.
Yeah.
Cox
maybe News. Just the Cox News thing.
Maybe Cox has a
Cox News may have a server or some kind that they may have put it on. But anyway, it made these lists, and that's why we've gotten some email. But she left our email address out. BlindHandyMan@hotmail.com was not in the article.
I see.
So that's why... They are writing to her, and she's forwarding to us But
Okay, I understand.
But the article is in the Lufkin News archives now, just the article itself, the text?
It's the text is in the Lufkin Daily News, and I can't think of the category it's under. It's not when you first open up and get on their website homepage, but you have to hit community or features or something like that.
So we need to get that path and tell everybody next week, I guess,
I
if you want to go.
Features. Yeah.
Send us a link to that page.
Yeah, if we had a link to that page, we could tell everybody what the link was, and they could go read it. It's about us. It really doesn't tell anything that y'all don't know, or anything we don't want you to know. Just a little article that the local Lufkin newspaper did, and the pictures aren't there. So anyway, maybe is she going to put the pictures there for you?
I don't know yet. I haven't heard.
Well, I thought you had clout with her down
at
the paper.
No pull at all.
All right, go ahead. A bit in here.
Okay, this one says, "Hi, I was fascinated by the article about your program. I've been fixing household things here in the UK for years. I could see when I started and can't now. I came up with some reasonable fixes to get around lack of either specialized equipment or any of the blind school methods, which proved too dependent on such. I'm the IT tech." What is that, Pat? What's an IT tech? You're the college guy around here.
I'm not sure. Something technology tech. I have no idea.
He says, "I'm the IT tech for a university's music faculty by profession and computer scientist by qualification."
Oh, okay.
"I was an engineer in factories before that. I built quite a lot of our own furniture when wife and I were first married, though now it's limited to odd jobs. I've done bits of electric, plumbing, woodwork, of course, and anything else I feel an urge to do. Plastic is the latest, as I'm sole user of my homemade, soft, light, flexible, telescopic long cane. I spent years with all the commercial cane products, analyzed their respective functionality, then took all the best and even accidental features and got rid of the rest. It was too radical for the RNIB or any of the local mobility places to take it seriously, but it works better than anything else I had to have to use. Uh-huh. It's so safe, the unwary pedestrian can't even trip over it, though several have tried. All tools I use are off the shelf, none of the adaptive stuff. Tools include Bosch power tools, though these are getting old now. I reckon I could offer bits of input to such a program if you could use more material." And this is from Bob Harris from the United Kingdom.
Man, we can always use more material. There's no question about that. He sounds like a good guest, and we'll get a hold of him and maybe have him on a future program. I'd like to see his adaptive cane, though.
I would too. It sounds
I don't do much cane travel anymore, but there was a time when I went everywhere with that. Cane was my cane is your friend. That was before this was before folding canes. The cane was just a long wooden stick with a crook at the end.
Uh-huh.
Back when I travel with a cane. Anyway, we'll get in touch with this fellow and see if we can't have him on the show. Sounds like a well-adjusted blind fellow.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We have another one here. This was sent to Stacy and forwarded on to us. It says, "Thanks for the fine article about the Handyman Show on ACB Radio. I'm a listener in the San Francisco Bay Area and was very glad to see the show publicized in your newspaper. ACB Radio features many shows of this type. I particularly benefit from this Handyman Show and the Technology Show Main Menu. Great job, sincerely, Gerald McCowick." I hope I'm saying that right.
Yeah.
From where did he say?
San Francisco Bay Area.
Oh, yeah. Well, can you? I get confused in California. He can't hear us on the reading service, can he? That's too far.
I wouldn't think so. That's too far north.
That's too far north. Okay, I don't know. I thought all those cities in California just kind of run together. San Fran Diego, you know.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a big old place.
It is a big old place. Well, anyway, thanks for those emails. Any more? Is that it?
No, that's about it.
Yes, yeah. Apparently he is hearing us, so I don't know. I guess on the internet. He said main menu and that.
Yeah,
so,
main menu.
And it was a very nice email.
It was a good email.
We need the good words. We need
the good email. We need all kinds of email at blindhandymanhotmail.com.
Yep.
And we have...
Tell you what I like about the emails. They're coming from everywhere. I mean, they're going every part of the United States. We've heard from Canada. We've heard from the United Kingdom now. So, my goodness gracious.
You know, it's amazing how little we've heard. And I was thinking the other day, from Texas.
Really? That's true.
Have we had an email from Blind
San Antonio?
Yes, we did.
That lady in San Antonio will know how to fix her, how to repair her drywall.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And we told her we didn't know, right?
Yeah.
Or something to that effect.
So, of course,
maybe that's why we don't
have
it in.
Of course, she hadn't written us back. Added pretty well to it.
Yeah.
She's the one that had the kids that punched holes in her walls.
That's right.
Yeah. I must have been off that time.
I think that was during the six shows you missed. You missed about six, I mean. How many have you missed?
Well, I'm not really sure.
I'm not really sure either. Let's see, why don't we do our guest? What do you think? What time is it?
Well,
about ready?
Well, let's see. It's about 16 after.
Let's do a little bumper music and get our guest set up. We have Gordon Vick from Abacon Gutters, close to Chattanooga. He is, if you recognize him, you probably don't recognize the name because we don't have anybody named that on him. We'll tell you about it in a minute. Back in a minute with more of the Blind Handyman.
ACB Radio programming with friends and other listeners, then you might want to join our ACB Radio Friends email list. You'll get all the announcement information you'd normally get from our ACB Radio announce list, and you can take part in email discussions with staff and listeners. All you gotta do is send a blank email message to friends-subscribe@acbradio.org.
Tell me one more time.
Just a blank email message to friends-subscribe@acbradio.org. Keep in touch. ACB Radio, the station that is out of sight.
Hang out with other ACB Radio listeners. Talk with the hosts. Provide suggestions about the future of ACB Radio. It's all possible through the ACB Radio Friends List.
Thank you for being a friend.
Log on and sign up now. Send a blank message to friends-subscribe@acbradio.org. That's friends-subscribe@acbradio.org. And thank you for being a friend of ACB Radio. Don't risk the disappointment of missing a great ACB radio program. Join our announcements list today. Receive email about upcoming programs on all our channels and new features. To join, send a blank email now to announce-subscribe@acbradio.org.
That's announce-subscribe@acbradio.org.
Or visit our website. Announcements about ACB radio delivered to you direct and free. Just another way to stay in touch with ACB radio.
Radio Mainstream, the talk of the blind community. This is the Blind Handyman. We invite your correspondence at our address, blindhandyman@hotmail.com. To be a part of the show, leave us a phone number and we will contact you soon. Now, with more of the Blind Handyman, here's Tom Houston.
Hey, thank you, Jan. A couple of shows back, we talked about cleaning gutters and the benefits of keeping them free of debris. Just imagine this. What if you had a gutter that you never had to clean ever again as long as you lived? Can you believe that? Well, before I go any further, I want to make it clear that we're not trying to sell any gutters here today. We do, however, want our audience to know that they're available, and we want to try to get answers to any questions that you may have about them. All right. So we have as our guest today the owner of Abacon Gutters in Rossville, Georgia. Don't hold it against him now. It happens to be my younger brother, Gordon, and here he is. Hi, Gordon. Let's give a big round of applause to Gordon Vick.
Well, hello, everybody.
Well, hi, Gordon. How's it going, buddy?
It's going great. How about yourself?
Oh, we're doing fine. We had a beautiful day down here today. What's the weather like up there?
Oh, it's wonderful. Prettiest day we've had in a while.
Well, we're saying the same thing down here.
That's good.
Well, these guys, I'm going to turn them loose on you.
Are you not? You're going to do this.
Okay. We're not helping you. Rocket scientists we're talking to, right?
Yeah, that's right. I've got your back, though, okay?
Okay, good. I'm proud of that.
I wish I knew what that meant. And okay. After this is over, I'll find out if, okay. I have to call you back.
Oh, boy.
Listen, we made this statement a while ago. We're not trying to sell anybody any gutters. There's one guy on here who is.
Okay.
We do this. I don't know if Tom has told you about this, but we do this little Blind Handyman show. It runs on ACB Radio. And what we try to do is help blind people with ideas about fixing up their home or their car or their whatever uh-huh. they want to repair. And we're talking about gutters. Don Shaw is here. Don Patterson is here. And your brother Tom, we call him Tom Houston. And we were all talking about cleaning gutters. And he mentioned, well, I know somebody that sells a gutter that you don't have to clean. Well, that to me
what a deal.
Is I never heard of a thing like that.
It's
so
the
we
ultimate
want
thing to have though.
Yeah, we want you to start from the top and tell us. We want to know not only what it is but how it works.
Okay.
So the floor is yours, sir.
Okay. Of course, the reason I got interested in gutters is because I've been in home improvements since 1970. And, of course, I realized that gutters cause, you know, a lot of problems to homes.
Uh-huh.
Biggest problem being fascia board damage and soffit damage and, of course, foundation erosion. It could even damage walls and get back into the ceiling and damage sheetrock. And
you mean if they overflow and get...
They overflow. And looking at standard K-style guttering, as we know it, just the standard gutter that you see on a normal home, if you look at them, of course, there's nothing to keep the leaves and debris out of them, but the front and back of the gutter is the same height, meaning that once they stop up from leaves and what have you, when it overflows in both directions.
Mm-hmm.
It goes right back into the house as well as, you know, over the front.
Yep.
Wash out your whatever you got in your flower bed.
Yeah.
And so there is a good solution to that, and our product is called K-Guard. And this is a leaf-free, debris-free gutter system. It's actually a closed system. And okay. What happens, it's simply only water can go in it. I know you say, well, this man's crazy. Well, yeah, I am pretty much so that, because you know who my brother is. But
we got that down.
You
yes,
really know how to hurt a guy.
But every one of us has heard of liquid adhesion. And, of course, by leaving the front of the gutter open, putting a hood on it, as the water runs off the roof, the water adheres to the top of the hood of the gutter, and it follows the contour of it right into the gutter, allowing the debris and stuff to just float right over and fall to the ground. Now, a good example of that is if you took a water glass and you lay it on its side and you put it under your water spigot, turn the water on, if you'll notice, the water will flow around both sides and come out at the same place on the very bottom.
Uh-huh.
So
okay.
This is the best illustration I can give you, and you can try that at home. But it actually works. Now, if I sat here and told you that there was never any debris getting in the gutter, I'd be telling a story, because roof and grit sometimes will follow that liquid going into the gutter. Also, little particles sometimes will fall into it. But the great thing is, the next heavy rain you get, it will actually flush itself clean of those small particles.
That would be good.
So you never really have any clogged gutters.
Because
that's the guarantee.
That roofing grit, we had a problem with that because we had gotten a section of new roof here a while back.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the same thing. We had problems with that, I guess, for about the first month mm-hmm. of just, you know, the first three or four or five rains, good rains, man. I had all kinds just mm-hmm. down in my gutter of that. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you have a new roof installed, you know what a problem that can be.
Yep.
Because all the grit's falling off anyway, and then you get a good rain, and then it really comes
down. Yeah,
you know,
really
comes
down.
But these gutters are designed, of course, they're called a 5-inch gutter, but what we call a 5-inch gutter here is really not a 5-inch gutter. It's really like a 4.
Mm-hmm.
And it's made out of what we call a 11 3/4-inch width coil stock.
Okay.
To make this particular product, it requires 15 inches, which is the same amount of coil width it takes to make the 6-inch gutter they call 6 inches here.
Okay.
Now, to make the hood, it requires an additional 7.5. So, consequently, the expense is a little greater because you're talking about almost double the material of a standard gutter, house gutter.
Uh-huh. So there's the gutter, and then there's a hood on top of the gutter.
That is correct.
The hood on top of the gutter is perforated.
Well, no, it's not perforated.
It's not perforated.
It's solid.
It's solid. it's closed also.
It's a closed system. All the water enters actually from the front of the gutter.
From the side away from the house.
Yes. Yes.
That's where the water comes.
That is correct.
Okay.
Now, if you remember, I was talking about the conventional gutter being the same height in the back.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
This particular product has a 3/4 inch raised portion in the back to, if something like a chipmunk got in one of the downspouts or something and actually made it clog,
mm-hmm.
it could never rise up and go to the house. It would have to come out the front because we have a backsplash that's 3/4 inches higher than the front.
Than the front, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So we eliminated that problem. And we have had one gutter to clog due to a chipmunk where it actually went up in the downspout and caused a problem. But there is a simple solution to that, and that's screen your downspouts so nothing can go up in them.
Put a screen on the end of the downspout.
That's correct.
Look, if you're not going to have debris, you could do that.
That's right.
You could. You sure could.
That's right.
So I wish you're going to have to come. And come down here. I have an air compressor and a nail gun. Build Tom a deck and bring a piece of gutter and let me see it.
Okay.
I got to see.
I'll certainly do that.
I've got a question.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to. How about the amount of water flowing into the gutter? Is it comparable or more? What I'm getting at is like a part of a roof that has a valley coming down. And across that gutter, is it going to be able to accept as much water, I guess, is what I want to ask,
good
as
question.
A conventional gutter?
That's a very good question. That's why that K-Guard has a patented inside mitered corner, that is specifically designed to deal with that volume of water that comes down the valley. Okay. Whether you know it or not, in torrential rains, no gutter will handle what that valley can produce.
I understand that.
Okay. But what the heck? It's raining outside, right?
Oh, sure, yeah.
And is that a very big price to pay for not having to clean your gutters? But it will trap normal rains with no problem whatsoever, but when you do get the torrential downpours, it can build up such a volume and such a speed that it can overshoot in those inside miters.
Uh-huh.
However, I've never seen it overshoot the gutter itself.
Well, that's a plus.
Okay. But on the inside miters, that even occurs on normal gutters.
Oh, sure it does. We have that problem all the time.
So theory actually being water is heavier than the debris will go on over the top, over the edge, and the water will fall down in the gutter.
Well, what is water leaves and sticks made out of? Wood, right?
Yeah.
They float, don't they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Gordon.
You answered your own question there.
Gordon, my name's Don Patterson. I've never met you before, but I've heard a lot about you.
Hey, Mr. Patterson.
From your brother. And I had a question, like, are your gutters, you might describe a little bit maybe about the assembling process or how you install them. Are they in one piece? I mean, do y'all build them on the job site, or do you go out and measure and then?
That's a very good question. We do. We have large trucks, and, of course, we have what is called a gutter machine on the back of that truck, and also we have what is called a hood machine. The hood and trough is made in a stainless, continuous piece.
Very good.
Okay.
And, of course, the way we attach to the house is far different from the conventional method, which, as you know, they're commonly used on a conventional gutter. They use what they call aluminum spike, which I'm sure we've seen that. Then you have the internal bracket that's nailed on something similar to a, it looks like to me, it's a ring shank drywall nail is what it looks like.
I've seen those.
I've seen those.
Okay. Yeah. Well, in the northern areas where you get a lot of rain and then you get blockage and you get water accumulating and of course the water freezes, what it does, it pulls the nails out.
Oh.
Yeah.
As well as the weather. The weather can also, the sun, the heat can also pull them out. Well, the K-Guard guttering is put on with screws. They're actually screwed to the house with a patented bracket.
Uh-huh.
This bracket actually supports the trough. It also supports the hood. So it's a snap-on hood. We never involve the roof at all. We're simply putting a K-style guttering similar to a K-style on your facer board, and the same bracket is taking care of the hood that goes on there.
Right.
So we never do any roof damage. As you know, there are some hoods that go under your roofing shingles. And by the way, those people don't charge you for the roof leaks.
As you know,
if you have roofing shingles that have any age on them at all, they become very brittle.
Sure they sure do.
And you don't want to be lifting them to put a hood for a gutter up under them.
No.
because all you're doing now is breaking up your roof.
Oh, sure.
So you don't want to do that.
And even you recommend these, I guess, over the kind of gutters I have are gutters, and they have a screen on top, which,
well,
of course, debris,
you know,
collects up there. But
yeah, well, there's no saying about gutters and screen. You know, you can clean your gutters or clean your screens.
Yeah, yeah.
It's up to you. The only problem with cleaning the screens is it's much harder because now you're up there picking it out a twig at a time. You could take a leaf blower and clean them before. But now you're up there doing it with tweezers.
Whereas you can't,
because everything tends to stick in the screen.
That's
the
right.
Yeah.
That's right. So
you've talked to people about these gutters once or twice before, haven't you?
Well, you know, having sold one or two of them or one or two feet of them, but you know, it's the truth. You know, I'm not feeding you a line of bull or anything. We have a product that actually works, and of course, like I told you in the beginning, I've been working on homes for a long time. It is one of the only solutions I've seen to guttering problems. I mean, gutters are essential in the fact that they control the runoff, the water, you know, off the top of a house.
Yeah.
And used to, we put it in an old cistern, and everybody pumped the water out of the cistern, and they had water.
But now we don't want that water. We want it gone.
Now we can't do that because the water's not potable.
But,
you know, and a gutter that's clogged is absolutely worthless. You're better off without a gutter.
That's a fact.
You know, it's funny up here. We see people that get so fed up with them, they just knock the end caps out.
That way,
when it's raining, it's shooting out the end.
Yeah.
It's as hard as it can go. You know?
No downspout or anything. It just shoots out the end.
Yeah.
Nothing's coming out of the downspouts. They're clogged.
I've got about 50 feet of gutter that's just that clogged. I didn't know you could knock the end caps out.
You can, but just remember, where you knock that end cap out, you're going to have a hole because that ground is going to erode, okay?
Yeah.
So remember that.
Your company, you are issued, when you take this franchise to sell these gutters and distribute these gutters, you're given a territory. And so what is your territory there where you are?
Well, we're in the North Georgia and Chattanooga, Tennessee area.
Uh-huh.
We have the nine counties that surround us. We're also, we just acquired the rights to North Alabama all the way down to below Birmingham.
Boy.
Is that right?
We're moving in that direction. We're already operating some in North Alabama over in the Huntsville area.
Mm-hmm.
And we're moving south toward Birmingham. And this product sells itself. You know, if you were here and you could see the product and see it operate, you would understand exactly what I'm saying. It actually works.
What is the difference in price over a regular gutter?
Well, if you compare us to what we call the 6-inch gutters up here,
yeah,
okay, then you're probably looking at three times more.
Yeah,
okay. So it is expensive. It is in that regard. But if you consider that usually about every 5 years people have to replace their gutters due to all the damage that's been done to them, you know, over a period of 15, 20 years, you know, you've more than made your money back.
Well, then besides that, you don't have to hire anybody and or yourself.
And you don't have to climb a ladder and run the risk of falling and killing yourself.
We're dealing with blind people here.
Yeah, right.
Who don't like to climb ladders.
Well, you know, today, I think we live in a society where everybody is looking for maintenance-free. Especially on the exterior homes. You know, they want brick with vinyl soffit and fascia, and then they want a maintenance-free gutter.
Save time and give us more time to mess with those computers, huh, Tom?
Absolutely.
That's exactly right.
Can you email it? Do you have a website where someone can go and find out who would, like, if you're in Kansas City, Missouri, surely there's somebody up there that distributes these. Is there a place you can go and find that out, information?
Oh, yes, yes. We're actually listed as a distributor on the K-Guard website. But if somebody wants our web address, you know, we're at abacon-gutters.com.
Do you have the K-Guard address? Can you give us that off the top of your head or not?
Yes. Let's see. Off the top of my head, you asked me. Okay.
Yeah. Well,
we're in Broomfield, Colorado.
We can talk for 30 seconds while you go find it if you want to.
No, I've got it here.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
It's, you want their web address or their...
Their web address, if you don't mind.
Let's see, hold on, I'm going to have to get that for you.
Uh-huh.
Well, okay, just go to kguard.com.
Kguard, K-G-A-R-D?
G-U-A-R-D.
K-G-U-A-R-D.com.
.com, yes.
And that would probably give somebody all the information on the gutter and also probably give them a list of distributors, wouldn't you think?
That is absolutely correct.
So that if someone in North Dakota wanted to buy these, they could find them. Of course, if you're in Chattanooga or around there, you can go to is it Abacon or Abacon? Spell it for us.
Abacon.
And gutters and
it's Abacon dash gutters.com.
Gutters.com. But you're in the phone book also if anybody wants to.
That is correct.
Well, I'd like to see these. I kind of understand how they work, but I can't exactly get the picture. So you're just going to have to come down here, Glenn. That's all there is to it, too.
Am I saying maybe I didn't do a good job?
I think you did a fine job.
Yeah, real good.
Yeah, we just need you to come. I'm trying to figure out a way to get you down here. I've never met you.
Oh, I'm coming down there. It's not too far off because I want to see my brother.
I've known you. He sure as hell ain't coming up there, is he?
That's for sure. I wish y'all would take a stick and run him out of there for a while.
No, we know how we'd do without him. So we're kind of trying to think of a way to get you down here visit with you a little bit. But
well,
anyway,
I would love to do that.
I've kind of got an idea, but bring a piece of gutter when you come and let me actually look at it. We'll just take it from there, and we appreciate you very much. We'll move on with our little show, and we'll tell them about your gutters on the Internet. Gordon, we'll send you a copy of this show, or you can go to acbradio.org and listen to it.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Gordon Vic.
Take care, Gordon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
People are wondering, why aren't you Thomas Vic? You should be. Where did this Houston stuff come? We'll tell you about that and more on the Blind Handyman Show in just a moment.
ACB Radio Treasure Trove.
You can hear
live, unpredictable internet
on the ACB Radio Interactive.
ACB Radio Interactive.
Playing music from
the 1930s and 40s,
the 50s and 60s,
the 1970s,
80s and 90s.
The hits of the new millennium.
ACB Radio Interactive comes to you from at least 6 time zones on 3 continents, bringing you the very best of
country,
top 40,
classic and modern rock,
new age,
folk,
the rare stuff out of the 50s,
jazz,
easy listening, adult contemporary,
and more.
Live, unpredictable internet radio.
ACB Radio Interactive.
ACB Radio Mainstream, now delivered live to your phone in the UK using phoneanything.com. The internet over the phone. www.phoneanything.com.
For the latest breaking news stories, visit the ACB Radio newsroom at www.acbradio.org. All the news, all the time. From the world's leading news organizations like CNN, the BBC, the New York Times, the Toronto Star, the Wall Street Journal, and more. That's all the news, all the time, in the ACB Radio newsroom at www.acbradio.org.
The Blind Handyman on ACB Radio Mainstream. Be sure and tell a friend about the program and email us often from blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, here's more of the show with Don Shaw.
Okay, Jan, we're back in.
What was that?
Papa Todd, boy.
Show. Opening
boy, there,
yeah.
Doctor,
open that top.
Have another Dr. Pepper and see if we care.
I don't
That's
think
right.
it's a Dr. Pepper.
Anyway.
Far from a Dr. Pepper, huh?
All right.
Anyway, speaking of drinking, no. We're going to talk about auto repair this segment of the show. And we're going to touch on a few things like... Well, changing a tire, getting a jump. If you happen to have a low battery, I've seen that where you're just going along, and next time you got to start your car, it just will not start.
Man, yeah.
Batteries just seem to go. These new batteries seem to go out with no warning. And
coming back on the way from San Antonio, just yeah. kaboom! The car just, you know, I don't know what happened. I guess the alternator just went out, and it just started losing power. And finally, we. Stopped in Flatonia and paid $300 for a $150 repair. You know? Anyway.
But if you have the little battery gizmo like you have,
we
that
want
you
to
need
talk
to tell
about
them
that,
about.
Yes. We do want to talk about that.
Which I don't happen to have, but it'd be a handy thing to have, so you need to tell the folks about that. We want to talk about recharging, putting in a refrigerant. If you have an air conditioner that's low on refrigerant. Now, we're not going to talk, we don't know about Freon on the older vehicles that it's going to be a problem, but anything above about a newer than about a 95 or 96 model automobile will have the new refrigerant. And we'll
if you know anything about Freon, tell us and we'll fill up that air conditioner in Houston's bomb out there.
Yeah.
Of course, I guess we don't need to now, do we? It's cool. It's cooler weather now.
Ah, good weather now.
It is good weather. Anyway, we're going to. We know a lot of that you don't have cars, and you're saying, well, what should I listen to this? I don't have cars. Well, these are things, mechanical things that you might want to learn. You might actually learn something, and you might be out with a friend that had a car. And you, one of the things I love to do as a blind person is give sighted people mechanical advice and or fix things for sight. I love it when my wife asks me, I can't put the shade on this lamp. Well, here, let me try it, dear, and snap it right on.
Uh-huh.
How'd you do that? You know,
uh-huh.
I love to do that. It's just a point of pride. I realize there are millions and billions of things that the sightlings can do that we can't do, but it just thrills me when I can give someone mechanical advice
oh, sure.
on how to do something. And I think a lot of blind people are that way. So you should know a little about cars, and,
yeah.
and we're all three of us. Here's three blind people here, and we've all got a car.
And as a blind person, even if you don't have a car and you're riding with someone and you just happen and y'all happen to have a flat, well, you know, it might be a good idea to know how to change that tire.
Do I get to tell my flat tire story today?
Sure,
yeah,
why not?
Ahead. Go ahead. We're sitting on the edge of our chair.
I was Jesus. Have his brother on and he's gets surly on us. Do I?
Now I think I know where this is going. You were married to
my first wife.
Yeah, I was going to say now. Every time he had it, he'd almost changed wives as many times as he
changed
tires.
Uh huh. That's pretty much it.
So this is flat tire
this
number one.
Flat tire. Right. Well, this isn't flat tire number one, but we were in an old Buick that she'd gotten from her brother or something. You remember her brother? He's a kind of a you know. Anyway. I had a flat in the mouth of the Washburn Tunnel.
Oh, great place to have a flat. Yeah,
you know, it was not
a
blind
what
a friendly.
Deal.
Not a blind friendly. I think she planned
Man.
It like that. She stuck something out the window in the tire.
Probably.
And I had
definite tow-away zone.
I had to change the tire, and there were cars.
Man.
I mean, just as fast as they could go. I thought, you know, I'm going to die right here on the side of the road changing the tire on an old Buick with a woman I can't stand.
You wouldn't be
you
the
know,
first one if it,
that's
that
right.
it might have happened, too.
I got it changed, but the guy wasn't going to let us go through. I said, man, I'm blind. I can't do it. Well, you'll just have to turn around. I don't know what you're going to do. You can't turn around. You know, he was a rather surly fellow. He wasn't... But I got it changed and made. I was 21 years old and probably half in the bag. Anyway, if you can imagine that. Anyway, Tom had you had something done that you wanted Tom to.
Well, yeah, it was back to the refrigerant deal. This is a plenty doable blind friendly project. The mechanics of it of putting in refrigerant are really blind friendly. You do have to have a sighted person. To look at the dryer of the air conditioner, which the way you can know where the dryer is, the dryer looks like it's about the size of a coffee can, maybe a little bit littler in diameter than a coffee can, but basically the same
you
size.
You mean a pound, a little pound
coffee
can. Yeah, a
1 pound coffee can.
And is it kind of rounded on the ends? Or
yeah, like? And kind of rounded on each end, and it'll have a line, a Freon line running in each end of it. It'll just kind of be hanging down from this Freon line.
It's obvious what it is.
It's obvious what it is. You know what you're looking for.
Maybe 5 inches long, and it's about almost as big around as a coffee can and rounded kind of on the ends. If you know.
But that could vary from manufacturer to manufacturer. One could be a narrower, longer one. Yeah. You know, one could be bigger around. I've seen them anywhere from up front, close to the condenser and the radiator, to back by the firewall.
But it's in the Freon line somewhere.
It's just something you've got to look for that's in the Freon line. Anyway, it has a small, I'm talking small, sight glass in the top of it, maybe the size of a pencil eraser or a little mm-hmm. bit smaller sight glass. And you've got, when you're putting in the refrigerant, you've got to have a sighted person look. And when you're feeding in the refrigerant, which Tom's going to read you some instructions for in a minute. But anyway, when it reaches the point of no bubbles, when the Freon or the refrigerant gets clear in the line, you've got to shut off the valve at that point.
Because then you've got enough.
If you've got enough. If you go too long and overfill it, then it will also lose its efficiency.
But the sighted person you're having help you has to have no mechanical ability. They just have to have eyes.
That's right.
Well, so you'd have to have a sighted person with you if you've got a car, if you're driving. Right.
Pretty much.
Well, that's true. But you wouldn't want to do this. You wouldn't want to do this on the side of the road. But I'm saying if you do it at home, you got to have a sight person.
It's a home project.
They don't have to have me. So I consider that a blind-friendly project. You know,
and safety. The big thing is, and that's what Tom's going to read some on the instructions, but safety, because you've got to put the line on the low side of the compressor, which is always the cold line because it only fit on the low side. In the old days, putting in Freon, you could have put it on the high side, and then you could have a problem because the Freon can could explode.
All right, are you telling what he's going to read, or what's he going to read?
Yeah, but anyway, he's going to read the instructions for that. But I'm just stressing, double stressing, safety on this project.
All right.
So. Okay, and this is the R134A recharge kit, and it says on here that it will service all R134A systems. So undoubtedly, this one covers everything, huh?
Covers every car around since
from 95. About 95 or 96.
I think
and later.
So.
Yeah.
So it says complete with all required components. You're going to need Acme threaded can tap valve. You're going to need the 134A high pressure hose, quick connect, disconnect hose fitting.
Yep.
And before starting your charging procedure, you check warnings on the 134A can and consult your auto service manual.
Which will pretty much tell you to hook to the low side of the line, which is what you just said.
Which is what we're telling you.
Okay, now then, we're into the instructions. Prepare kit for use. Number one, you turn the valve handle in a counterclockwise direction until it stops in order to withdraw the piercing needle.
Okay.
Number two, screw the can tap valve on threaded valve mm-hmm. on top of 134A can.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're going to screw that down,
this
and it's going to pierce
it. This
can
just has a threaded thing you can feel on top of the can. You screw it on.
Okie dokie. And then number three, you thread your high-pressure hose on your can tap valve.
Yeah.
All right, and your charging procedure, quick connect hose fitting. Will only fit low side of the suction valve.
So that eliminates you getting it on the high side, doesn't it?
Exactly.
It sure does.
So it only fits on the low
side.
Which
is a great improvement.
Of the air conditioning system. Never connect to the high side, as this may be dangerous. The low side service port is located on the large diameter hose that remains cool and may usually be found between the compressor and the evaporator. On most late model GM and Fords, it's located on the accumulator dryer.
Yep.
Okay, number one, locate the low side service port of AC system. Two, remove protective dust cap. Three.
Which let me stop you right there. That just feels like on a car tire or bicycle tire when you unscrew the cap off the inner tube.
Does it unscrew?
Same kind of deal. Just unscrew.
Okay. Same type thing. Okay.
And drop that in your pocket. Keep that somewhere.
Okay. Number three, connect the hose fitting as follows. A. You pull your sleeve back while pushing on to male service port.
So the same thing, the same kind of hose that you use on an air compressor hose.
It's the same exact
deal. Uh-huh, same type thing.
Okay.
B, you push sleeve forward, making sure that coupler fits tightly into place.
Okay.
All right. Number two, you're going to turn AC to maximum and maximum cool and start your engine.
Yep.
Do not do so in a closed garage.
No kidding.
And then A, you turn your valve handle in a clockwise direction, allowing piercing needle to puncture that 134A can.
That's right. And
kaboom, you're rolling.
And you're rolling, that's right. You're now ready to charge. You turn your valve handle back in the counterclockwise direction to open valve to permit refrigerant to flow into the system. And B, can should be in an upright position during this procedure. Four, when charging procedure is completed, close valve by turning valve handle in clockwise position until stopped.
It doesn't say anything about watching the sight glass on the dryer, though.
But you got to. That's how you know when it...
No, there is a little glass up there. You can look and tell what's going
on. Unless you have gauges, that's the only way to tell.
And on those instructions, Thomas, go over that. It says you push that, because it was a little confusing, you push the handle clockwise to puncture it.
And then
so
the
really
other way to open
it. That's in the closed position. You're puncturing to open the can, and then you pull the lever counterclockwise to open it, and then you go back clockwise to close it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And then A, remove quick connect fitting by pulling sleeve back once more. And B, you keep your valve in place if there is still material remaining in the can. C, remove charging valve and hose from can if empty. And discard.
Uh-huh.
And that's basically it, guys.
And just a side note here, depending on the manufacturer of your vehicle, it could take between, you know, if it's empty, it could take between 2 and 3 cans to fill it. Now, if it's just one of those deals where you're kind of topping off,
I didn't know that.
A can.
I didn't know that. See, they should have, I think they should have told you that and told you about watching the sight glass.
Yeah. Obviously, this would be kind of a fix for maybe older, you know, not
well, 96
older
and newer.
Cars, but 96 and newer, but. Would you say that, obviously, if you had a severe leak, this is going to just kind of go right through? But if it was a small little leak like you people do have, I mean, like
we have a small one right now in the caravan, and we
do this
once in the spring, and maybe add a can in the fall, or maybe not. It just depends on if it gets
cheaper than replacing air conditioning.
Oh yeah.
Okay. What is this stuff worth, Rickon?
What does it cost?
$3
or so a can, $3 or $4 a can.
Is this a can, or is this just the instructions from a can?
Well, it's the instructions that came with the little hose gizmo kit that you put it in with.
And about how long do you say average does it take, Don? 30 minutes of your time, 15 minutes?
Oh, no. That's probably to put in one can. Yeah. It goes in pretty quick, probably 4 or 5 minutes.
So you could drive the old buggy for 2 or 3 more years and never think about replacing the air conditioner.
Oh, yeah. We're already on our second year of doing this in the caravan.
All
right. Working fine. Third year, actually, of doing this.
Well, and, of course, when you trade it, you want to reveal to the serviceman that you...
Yeah, right. You want to charge it that very day, right?
Correct.
I would think
very
day.
Get it down there in a hurry.
Man, on a hot summer day when it's hot, it sure is nice to be putting in that Freon, and then you reach over... If you're standing there beside the car and reach and feel that cold air coming out of that vent, man, it's a good feeling.
You do this with the air conditioner running.
With the air conditioner and the motor running, so you want to be sure you know where all the belts and pulleys and things are.
Of course, if you have the little digital recorder, you get somebody to read it, the instructions, and then you'll know how to do it. Go out in the driveway and locate your dryer and locate your valve on your supply side.
Yeah.
Is it the supply side? What do they call it?
Yeah, on the low
side. On the low side, which is the larger hose.
The larger of the Freon lines.
Which is the larger of the Freon lines, which I did not know. But it's the cold one.
Yep. If you have any Freon in your air conditioner. The thing is, when the newer vehicles run out of Freon, the problem is to keep the compressor from burning up, the compressor will just shut. It won't come on. It'll just shut down, and it's got a micro switch in it that won't let it come back on is the problem. So you won't necessarily, after it shuts off, if you're that low on Freon, then you may not necessarily have a cold and a warm line.
All right. As a matter of fact here, it says for most systems will not require more than 3 cans of refrigerant from an empty start. So if you're empty, no Freon at all.
Not more than 3
cans. But you wouldn't have a cold line, but you'd know which line to get on because it's the bigger.
It's the
bigger. And it says it's the only one that'll fit, which is great.
But it's
a good blind friendly price. You know, if you just have someone to watch the sight glass, or you have a set of gauges, either way. But I mean, either way,
you'd have to have a set of talking gauges.
You'd
have to have a set of air conditioner blind talking gauges, wouldn't you? Anyway, that's a blind friendly thing, and somebody do that and tell us about your experience. That's what we really want right here. Anyway, we assume that everybody knows how to change a tire, but maybe not everybody does. And so if you don't, we're going to tell you how to change one if you've never done it. There was a point in time when I'd never changed a tire, and I didn't know how.
Yeah.
And there are probably a lot of blind people. First thing you do is find your... First, if you have a car, you ought to know whether that jack will raise the car and where the tire tool is and how that jack works before you ever go anywhere.
That's right.
Because eventually you're going to have a flat out in some place where you can't call Ronnie's Wrecker Service.
Sitting in your driveway would be the place to change a tire and the first time.
It would be the easiest place.
It would be the easiest place, and you ought to go out and see how that jack works, if it's under the axle or see if it's under the bumper or under some member under the car there. How does it work? How does it raise the car? How does it lower the car? Do you know how to do that, first of all? Well, the first thing to do is get the jack out, put it under the car, get ready to raise the car, but don't raise the car. Pop the hubcap off. Stop me when I make an incorrect statement, okay?
Sounds good so far.
Sounds good to me.
Pop the hubcap off and loosen the lug nuts first.
Yep.
Just loosen them. Don't take them off. Mm-hmm. Just loosen them. Just make sure you can turn them with your thing. Just turn them a half turn till they're loose until you figure out that you can take the tire off.
And they're going to be pretty hard to turn.
Because, you know, there are people who would jack the car up and then try to turn the lug nuts. And, of course, then what happens?
Well,
you're going to rock the car off the jack, probably.
Well, you're turning. You could, you know, on older cars, you could turn the tire. You could turn the wheel if it's front wheel, couldn't you?
Exactly.
So, you know, and you don't need to be doing that. You need to put that strength or that pressure that you're putting on the car with the tires all flat, with it sitting flat on the ground. You don't need to do that with your car up in the air, because, like right. Houston said, you'll rock it off the jack if you're not careful.
And let me add something right here. I've seen those lug nuts so tight that I've actually had to stand on the end of the lug wrench before and kind of just... Well, sometimes they're tight.
The ideal deal you want is a four-way.
Yeah, that's what I was just fixing to say.
Those big old nice four-ways. I don't know whether I have one in my...
Those are really the thing to have.
I guess when she gets home tonight, I'll go out and see if that Suburban Jack will race car.
And if you do have a problem, I mean, sometimes if you have an old galvanized piece of pipe...
Get close to your mic. I can't hear you.
Make a cheater bar.
That's right.
Or something, rather than taking a hammer. A lot of people, I've seen people use a sledgehammer or something in their lug wrench, but... If you're going to do this any length of time, a good 2-inch piece of galvanized pipe will make you an excellent.
Yeah,
slip it down over the end of the tire tool
and give you some leverage, and you won't hurt your back. And believe me, this is an excellent place to hurt your back.
Oh yeah, amen. Oh sure, yeah.
I jacked that old Nabisco truck that I had, that old truck that used to deliver. We used to sell brooms out of. I jacked that sucker up, and I couldn't get it quite high enough, so I put some boards under the jack, and, you know, was that dumb or what? Was that dumb? That thing had fallen off. I wouldn't have been playing a guitar, would I?
No, that's for sure.
Anyway, is that the theme I hear?
That's it.
So that's it. Anyway, take the lug nuts, jack the car up, take the lug nuts off, put the new tire on, let it down where there's some pressure on that new tire before you start tightening up the lug nuts.
Yeah, and there's a lot of new products out on the market. Maybe we'll on a later show we'll talk about them. Things, even electric jacks that plug into your cigarette lighter, the air filled, and safety equipment required out on the road.
Charlie, we need to continue this subject.
We will continue this subject next show, but we'll say right now, thanks to Gordon Vick, who is Tom's brother, and that's his problem, not ours, isn't it?
We don't hold it against Gordon.
He was a fine guest. Called, what are those gutters called again? They're called?
It's K-Guard gutters.
K-Guard. So if you want to go to kguard.com and look at those, you can. Leaf-free gutters.
Yeah.
I don't know what we'll talk about next week. Got several people who make good guests. I call these folks, Beverly and Moe, and their phone was having a problem. I'm trying to get a hold of them next week. Got a lot of folks that would be a good guest. If you'd like to be a guest on the Blind Handyman Show, please email us at blindhandyman@hotmail.com, Donald.
Yep, Blind Handy Man Hot, and MSN Messenger, we'll add you to our list. Go to MSN Messenger, open it, and we'll put you on our list. Go to, same thing, blindhandyman.com on your MSN Messenger.
Good deal. Thanks, Don Patterson.
Yes, sir.
We appreciate you. Good luck with your bathtub, Donald Shaw. Thank you, sir.
Sure. Have a fine one.
Thanks to your brother, and thanks to you, Tom Houston Vick.
Enjoyed it.
I'll look you up in the phone book now, can't I? I'm Phil Parn. We'll see you next week. I see, said the blind man as he picked up his hammer and saw.
The Blind Handyman is produced for ACB Radio by Out of Market Productions, 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.